verse 31 through 46. And this morning I'm going to preach a message, and I didn't create a template to go behind me for the service, so that's perfectly fine. We'll leave the Memorial Day flag up there. American flag. But I want to remind you that we, the body of Christ, we have the most urgent message that this world has ever known. It's urgent. This is not just an announcement that we have for the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's an urgent message. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." I believe with all my heart that we know the way to the Father, and there is no other way. There are a lot of good people in a lot of false religions that are trying to make peace with God, trying to be good people, trying to find their way to heaven with good works, even some in Christianity, trying to make it to heaven through good works, and we cannot do it. We have a message. I feel the presence of God right now. We have a message and a mandate from Jesus Christ that we are to go into all the world and preach the good news.
Amen.
To all creation.
Come on.
And the good news, I'm going to take my time. I'll get to Matthew 25. The good news is that while we were separated from God by our sin, Jesus Christ, the only way to God, has invited the whole world to believe on Him and allow His sacrifice to pay the penalty for their own sins. Amen. Such good news.
Amen.
We have to remember how urgent this is. The urgency is overwhelming. And sometimes I feel that the church forgets how urgent it is. And so if you see me broken today, and if I cry, it's because I feel that there's an urgent call. There's an urgent call for those who don't know Jesus. Come now before it's too late. There's an urgent call to the church. Tell your loved ones that Jesus is the only way. There's an urgent call to the body of Christ. Now, now is the day. There's an urgent call to those who don't know Him. Today is the day of salvation. If you harden not your heart. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Please stand with me if you will. I want to read about 15 verses. Verse 31 says, "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory," who's this speaking of?
Jesus.
"When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all His angels with Him, then He will sit upon His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in His presence, and He will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at His right hand and the goats at His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then these righteous ones will reply, 'Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the King will say, 'I tell you, when you did it to one of the least of my brothers and sisters.'" "You were doing it unto me." And then the King will turn to those on His left, and He will say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me, and I was thirsty, and you didn't give me to drink, and I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home, and I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing, and I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me." And then they will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and not help you?" And He will answer, "I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. Heavenly Father, I pray your blessing upon your word. The promise is that it will not return void. Father, I pray that as I bring forth what I feel that you have given me today, not even the message that I studied for, what you gave me today to speak, I pray that every ear will hear the urgency of your voice through mine. I pray that every heart will receive what you are saying to the church and to them as individuals. And I pray, God, if there's anyone here in this house today that is not right with you, or perhaps who's far off from you and walking cold or even lukewarm, God, I pray that you would save, that you would restore. As you said, Lord, that if we were lukewarm, you would spew us out of your mouth. Father, save. Father, bring to the forefront of our mind the urgency of these days. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to give you one more scripture before I go on. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And I have actually several more, but I'll give you this one and we'll go on. Whosoever was not found in the written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So I want to back up and I want to talk about Matthew chapter 25 through 30, or 20, chapter 25, verse 31 through 46. And we see here that Jesus, will come. And he's coming soon. Let me just throw that in there. When I was a young boy, especially a young boy, but even in my teenage years, I used to hear it preached a whole lot. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. Not heard it preached in a long time. Let me remind you, Jesus is coming soon. The Word of God tells us that now, that today, we're closer than when we first believed. Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. I want to pause right there and talk to you a minute about what has been created for us since the foundation of the world. First of all, I want to remind you that the Word tells us that Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And here we see that the Word tells us that from the creation of the world that there has been a kingdom that's being prepared or has been prepared for us. And Jesus said when he left, he said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am there you may be also. He's gone to prepare a place for us. But from the very beginning of creation, a place has been prepared for those who belong to the Father. And I want us to get this. This is amazing. This is awesome. I believe that as the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be present with Christ. And so I believe that when we leave this body, that our spirit goes to the Lord. And I believe that we're there. I believe that we're there instantaneously. So as Sister Evelyn closed her eyes for the last time and stepped out of her body, I believe she stepped into the presence of the Most High God.
Amen.
Friday night.
That's right.
My tears this morning are because of, it's not because of death. It's not because of pain I've been through this week. It's not because of the sorrows that so many of us face, although some of those things really break my heart. It's not because we go through trials and tribulations. It's not because the world is in such a terrible shape, although I can cry for those things. But my tears this morning, and the reason I'm so emotional and so passionate this morning, and I have to tell you this, is because people are acting as though Jesus is not coming back, and there is an urgency. Jesus is coming again after his church, and he's coming after a church spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. I can't live up to that. Thank God, by the grace of God, I am washed whiter than snow through the blood of Jesus Christ. So from the day that creation began, actually before the day was, God said, let there be. So from the very first word that God spoke in creation, there was already a place being prepared for us. And I believe with all my heart, it's just a place in His presence. And it doesn't matter to me if there are streets of gold. It doesn't matter. There are. But it doesn't matter to me if there are streets of gold, if there are gates of pearl, if there are walls of jasper. Those things don't matter to me. I don't care how big the throne is that Jesus will sit on. I don't care how many elders are there throwing their thrones at His feet. All I want to do is see Jesus. And what I want to experience is in His presence. I want to be there with Him. And I want to understand Him and know Him like He understands and knows me.
Amen.
Pull me down just a little on that slide, Brother Martin. He's prepared a place for me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. The reason He was saying that, even though the place had been prepared in the presence of God, Jesus was saying, I go to prepare a place for you, because He was making a way that we might get from this place to that place. He was giving us access to the Father. Right. I go to prepare a place for you. I'm creating a bridge from here to there. You can't get there on your own. You're not good enough. You're not perfect. And you have to be perfect in the presence of a perfect God. But you can't get there. So I'm going to prepare a place for you. And where I am, there you may be also. Thank God for the mercy of Jesus Christ that has prepared a way for me to live in the presence of a holy God through eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That says, for I was hungry and you fed me, and I was thirsty and you gave me a drink, and I was a stranger and you invited me into your home, and I was naked and you gave me clothing, and I was sick and you cared for me, and I was in prison and you visited me. And these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of one of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. We see that just the opposite happens for the ones He calls the cursed ones. Now, I want you to get what's being said here, and I don't think that this is necessarily just to those who we would say are the worst of the worst. This is not just to those who are those cursed ones. They're not just those that we might consider sinners. They're not just prostitutes. They're not just drunkards. They're not just abusers of themselves with mankind, who the Bible calls that. It's that or homosexuality. It's not those who are sleeping around on their wife or their husband, who are committing adultery or fornication. It's not just those. It's not just those that we're talking to. But Jesus says He's speaking to a group of people who have ignored the hurts of society.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Now I want you to get what's being said here. And I'm not talking about working our way into heaven. I'm not just talking about our works, because I don't think our works will get us there. Our works won't get us there. The Word of God tells us that. By grace are you saved, through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If it was about our works, we would say, look what all I've done. And that's what we see a lot of the time in the news. We see celebrities, and they'll do this big thing, and they'll make a big deal out of it. Look at what sister or what so-and-so has done, what this person has done, what that person has done. Sometimes we celebrate things like that in the church. It shouldn't be that we celebrate those things. Those things are between us and God, and God is the one who should celebrate us if something's to be celebrated.
Yes.
And we should be celebrating Him.
Amen.
But this is talking about a group of people who have closed up their heart to others. Now, I'm taking you somewhere. I want you to get this. This is about a people with a lack of love. Jesus said, they'll know you're my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. If we don't have any love, we are no different. We are no better than anybody else in this world. And I want us to get that, because there is an urgency. This world is needing those who didn't show love. You're saying, you said, I thought he was saying those who didn't feed the hungry, those that's a manifestation of love.
Yeah.
It's not one thing in particular. It's not that if you just go out and feed the hungry that you're going to get to heaven. And that's okay, that's love. This is my example of love. And I'm going to know. It's the love that's in us will spill over in our actions, and we will show the world that we're his disciples. It's the love of Jesus Christ. And we need to get to the place where we're not ashamed of Jesus. We need to get to the place where we're not ashamed to love. Listen, I'm going to say this, and some of you might not like it. We need to get to the place where we're not ashamed to love the homosexual. Some of you saw me on Facebook this morning inviting people to church. I sought the Lord. I didn't know what to preach this morning. I had a couple messages on my heart, and I didn't know which one was the message for today. This was the first one that I really felt like the Lord impressed on me, and I didn't know if it was the one for today. And as I began to search and began to try to figure out what it was the Lord had for me to preach today, I found another, and it spoke to my heart. And that's how often, that's how I feel like I know what the Lord is wanting me to preach, because it stirs something in me. And if it stirs something in me, I know that it's what the Holy Spirit's moving on. So I chose the second one because it was stirring something in me. And I got in here this morning, and unusually, I had a lot of extra time this morning. Normally, I'm busy with this, busy with that. We had it covered well this morning, and I had a little bit of extra time. Amen. Thank the Lord. And so I went in my office, and I began to look at this and that, actually, the scripture I was going to preach from, and it stirred me yesterday.
Come on. But not today.
Not today.
Glory.
And I thought, well, I got to see what else. And I went back to that first one. Oh, I felt the stirring today.
Yes.
And I said, but Lord, I don't have any notes. All I've got is some scriptures. And I got one quote that I
used.
Something I said in 2012.
You, Lord. It's all you, Lord.
Don't worry about that. So I put the other notes back, and I pulled out these scriptures. And I feel like the Lord is telling me to tell you it's urgent.
Yes.
This is urgent. There is an urgent call that's going out to the body of Christ right now. Time is short. The days are evil. Dark is coming. Night is coming when no man can work. But right now, we have the day.
Yes, we have the one.
We have the message. The world's hungry. world's hurting, and the world's thirsty, and the world's naked. And we have to consider, am I going to feed those who are hungry? Am I going to clothe those who are naked? I'm not just talking about missions, I'm talking spiritually as well.
Right.
Are we going to do these things, or are we going to just come in and sing about the goodness of God? And I'm not against hymns. I like hymns. I love hymns. And I want you to get this right. I want you to get what I'm saying here. But we can't just sing about what happened way back then. And we can't even sing about praise and worship. What's going to be when we get there? We need to be considering this as a form of worship, no matter what we sing. But we need to be coming together in the house of the Lord and preparing for what we're going to be doing the next week as we go out of this house to see what we can accomplish in the kingdom of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. This is a place where we get together and we get encouraged and we get strengthened and we go out and then we reach the world for Jesus. We've got a lot of things to do, but if we come in here and we just sing about what happened way back then or what's going to happen way up then, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Way up there in those days in the future. If we do that, if that's all we're doing, we're messing up. This 2 hours or 2.5 if I stretch it out. This is not a place, and I'm not saying that you think that I'm coming in here or we're coming in here to entertain you, but this is not a place of entertainment. This is not so that you can get your fix. This is not so that we can accomplish some tradition that we've had about going to church. Come this on. Is the place for us to meet with God. This is the place for us to fall on our face before Him. This is the place for us to hold one another accountable. This is the place for us to encourage our brothers and sisters in the Lord. She was telling me this, and she was telling me that, and she never did, she hadn't told me what her religion was, but she was very curious about Christianity. And she said, well, there's a lot of different beliefs in Christianity, right? And I told her, yeah, there's Catholicism, there's Protestantism, and then Protestantism's broken down to all these different denominations. We talk about everything. And I said, she said, what kind of church do you pastor? I said, it's a Pentecostal church. It's full gospel. We believe everything that the Word says.
Right. Right.
And we believe that it's still in practice today.
Yes.
And so I could see she was a little bit puzzled by that, but we kept talking. Finally, I got to ask her some questions. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. I said, first of all, I said, you need to tell me what your faith is. But I said, are you a Christian? And she said, no. And I said, Islam? She said, I go to a mosque. And I said, Islam? And she said, yes, I'm Muslim. And I said, okay. And I could tell she was fearful. She was afraid that I was going to really come down on her heart. I was going to be hateful. I was going to be mean. And I said, okay, I understand that. I said, let's talk some more about that. Let me ask you a question. What gets you into heaven? What do you feel like gets you into heaven? What do you believe gets you into heaven as a Muslim? And she said, well, believe this or not believe this. This is what she said to me. She said, what they've made Islam out to look like is mostly terrorism. She said that most of us don't believe that way. We believe in kindness. We believe in goodness. She said, we believe that our works, we have to do good works to get into heaven. And I said, you know, there are whole branches of Christianity that believe that it's works that get you into heaven. And she said, oh, I didn't know that. And we talked more, and finally she said, our faiths are very much alike. I said, well, they're alike in a lot of ways. I said, I believe in good works, but I don't do good works to get me into heaven. I do good works because Jesus has already paid my way to get into heaven, and so therefore I'm thankful and I do good works. And she was looking at me a little puzzled. I said, let me explain it to you. I said, first of all, she had told me how she felt she had to get into heaven was works. She went on to explain it. She said, if I even kill an ant, I might get up there and the gates of heaven will close on me. And I said, well, when I get to heaven, I said, it's not going to be based on my works. My rewards will be based on my works. But when I get up there, the thing that will make the gate open for me is that I have believed on Jesus Christ. And that he took all the sin that I was guilty of, and he took it to Calvary, and the penalty that demanded, the Bible says that the soul that sins shall surely die. All the penalty that demanded was placed upon Jesus Christ, and God punished him for my sin, and God gave me the freedom, the deliverance, the sinlessness that was upon Jesus, and allows me to be considered right in right standing with him. So when I stand before the gate swings open for me because of the work of Jesus Christ, not because of my goodness.
Amen.
I said, but I do good things because I'm on my way to heaven. And she said, I understand. She said, when I get there, she said, if I've stepped on an ant, the gate may close to me, but when you get there, everything that you've done was placed on Jesus, and it's already paid for, and you've got an extra chance, and you get in.
Right.
I said, exactly. We continued to talk. She told me, she said, we believe in Jesus. We believe he's a prophet. I said, he was a prophet. We agree on that. I said, but he was more than a prophet. She said, well, our faith believes that he was more than a prophet. He was not just a human. He was empowered by God to do everything that he did. I said, I agree completely. But he was not just a prophet. He was the prophet. He was the one that God, he was God's only begotten son.
Yes.
That came into this world, and he was the only one that could make it there. She said, well, we believe that there are many prophets. And she started telling me about Muhammad, and Jesus was one of those. There are more that are still to come, and all these things. And I said, well, I've used this before talking to Muslims, but I said, either we believe that everything Jesus said was true. If he was a prophet of God, then he had to speak truth. She agreed. I said, if we believe that everything he said was true, then we have to consider that he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me.
Yeah.
So Jesus was either a crazy man or he was the Son of God. She said, I sense such gentleness in you.
Yeah.
And such love. See, I wouldn't be an argumentative. I wouldn't be an hateful. I wasn't preaching at her. We were having a discussion. She said, I sense such gentleness in you. There's love in you. She said, we all need that. She said, South Knoxville needs you.
Yeah.
I'm blown away. She said, I believe with all my heart that you are where you're supposed to be.
Wow.
She said, South Knoxville is full of poverty. It's full of hurting people. It's full of unwed mothers. It's full of this. It's full of that. She was naming all these things. She said, I used to live in South Knoxville. I know about it. She said, it's got all these things. And if this is what you're teaching your people, South Knoxville needs you.
Amen.
And I said, I believe we're called here for a purpose. She said, you're supposed to be here.
Wow.
You're supposed to be here. I believe and I agree. Supposed to be here. Here's the thing. I don't know how long I've been preaching, and I know it is already after 12. Here's the thing. The Lord opened the door of opportunity for me to witness to her. She not only received it, but she received it with joy and asked question after question after question. I told Tracy when I left there, it was so refreshing to have someone that wanted to know about our faith. Rather than you trying to tell them about Jesus and they say, I've already heard all this, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. I believe I'm already saved, but they're still living like the devil. I said, it's so refreshing to have someone that's willing to hear. That wasn't all. I'm telling you this, and I don't want you when she gets here, because she's coming here. I told her, I don't want you when she gets here to say, oh, you're that woman that the pastor talked to about the Lord. Don't say that. I said, I want to invite you to our church. And she said, I don't know. I don't know if I'd be received. I said, you will be received, and you'll be respected, and you'll be loved.
That's right.
Amen. And I said, if you're not, I will address it personally.
Correct. That's right.
And she said, then I will be there, and I will bring my daughters. I said, you can sit with my wife. She's just as kind as I am, but she's a little more blunt. She said, I will be there. I expected to see her today. She's not here today. She's coming. Now, I'm going to push that pause button and get back to it. And I am not going to fall. Listen, there's coming a day when we're going to give account for everything that's done in this life. That's what the Word of God says. Here's what I wrote in 2012 that I have to say to you today. If we as Christians don't find our purpose in the kingdom of God, we will waste our years in complacency. People around us will die and go to hell unwarned, and we will arrive in heaven with nothing to present to Christ our Savior as an offering for His goodness toward us. I don't want to get there and not have anything to show.
Amen.
I feel that presence of the Lord. I don't want to get there and say, Lord, thank you so much for saving me. Thank you for what you've done for me. And Him say, what did you do for me? I don't want to get there and not be able to have anything to offer Him. I don't have anything of value that I can give to God except my service and my obedience and my love. I don't have anything. He doesn't want my goods. Sure, we take an offering because it's for His kingdom to expand it. But He doesn't need my money. All the cattle of the hills are His. The silver and the gold all belongs to Him. I need to give my money because if I do, then I'm turning loose of those selfish desires of the flesh. And I need to give God and make Him first. I need to put my treasure in somewhere so my heart can be there. I don't give to God because He's poor. God's not in need. Now, Knoxville's got some needs, but God's not in need. I don't want to get there and not have anything to offer Him. I don't want to get there and say, Lord, well, I had a little bit of money in the bank and I left it to the church. It's not what God's looking for. What about your brother that was lost? Did you ever tell him about me? What about that co-worker that was like a splinter under your nail? But they were trying to jab. through 11. As a matter of fact, I'll just read that for you. You've got all weekend. Hopefully you've got tomorrow off. I'm going to preach a little longer. I won't go too long. After these things I looked, and behold, this is the New King James. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Who is the door? Who's the door that's standing open in heaven? Jesus Christ. We might not even think about that, but the Word tells us. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Word calls him the door. The Word says he stands at the door and knocks, but the Word says he is a door. So when we see this door standing open in heaven, we're really seeing Jesus, and the invitation is open. And you are welcomed in. You're invited in as long as the door is open.
That's right.
That's right now. And I looked, and behold, the door was standing open in heaven, standing open. There was a wedge under it, holding it open for now. I could preach right there. I might preach right there soon. The first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here and I will show you things that must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, capital O, one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardis stone in the appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance, like an emerald. So the rainbow belongs to God. Amen? Amen. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne, around the throne were four living creatures. The first living creature was like a lion. The second creature was like a calf. The third creature was like the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The fourth living creature, each had six wings full of eyes all around them. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So we see that all the way down through verse 11 here. We're speaking of a time when there will be praise and honor going on in heaven. I think that's happening to some extent now. The creatures that we saw, we don't even know what to call them. Those are, we call them cherubim because that's what they're named in the Word of God. But we don't understand creatures like that. But that's just part of the heavenly host that surround his throne, giving him praise and honor and glory forever. There's coming a day, those who are called sheep, those who are welcomed in, we're going to join in that praise. And the 24 elders will see the angels praising him, saying, holy, 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 who to the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come, who was way back when, who will receive the crown of life. There's an incorruptible crown, sometimes called an imperishable crown in Scripture. This crown is given to those who demonstrate self-denial and perseverance. They keep on when things are going hard. And they deny self. They don't just worry about what feels good or what feels right, because they know that their relationship with God is more important. And then there's a crown of righteousness. And it's promised to those who love the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are looking forward to His return. And I'll just tell you, I'm talking about the return of Jesus Christ this morning because I'm anxious for it. I don't mind if He comes today and I don't have any festivities tomorrow for Memorial Day, because I'll be shouting around the throne.
Amen.
The only reason that I would want the Lord to put off His coming today, because I have lost loved ones who are unsaved.
Amen.
I have friends that don't know Jesus. Friends who are walking in a far off state from God. And there's a crown of glory. This one is granted to pastors, evangelists, teachers, prophets, apostles, Christian leadership. It's granted to them, those who selflessly, unselfishly, we could say, shepherd the flock and are a good example to others. And there's a crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing is one that's given to those who win souls. I want to win all of those. You say, Pastor, if you win that first one, you have to go through some difficulties. So be it. If need be, so be it. I've been through some difficulties. I've been through a little bit of persecution. Not like they have in other parts of the world. My heart is for Him. I want to win that imperishable crown. I want to win the crown of glory. I want to win the crown of righteousness. I want to win the crown of rejoicing. I don't want to be guilty of getting there and not having anything to show. I want to give my all here, so when I get there, I've laid up treasures in heaven. Can you stand with me? Stand with me for just a moment. With every head bowed for just a minute. Father, I ask You in the name of Jesus that You would meet with us right here where we are. Those who don't know You, if there's anyone here today that don't know You, Father, I pray they come to know You now before it's too late. Father, those who are walking afar off, those who are not where they should be with You, who are lukewarm, they've made a confession of faith, but they're not living it. Pray, God, right now. Right now. Begin to minister to them. Let them hear what Your heart would say to them, what You're drawing them. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, every head still bowed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that You'd allow our Christian friends and brothers and sisters who are here to let us realize, Lord, the urgency of our day and the urgency of our call and our mandate. In Jesus' name. I want to open this altar up, and I want everyone who will step out of your seat for just a minute. It's not quite 12:30. Step out of your seat and come on. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you lead the way. If you're not right with Him, come on, find a place around this altar. I'll meet you there in just a moment. Expect you.